Great reminder of the sovereignty and the love of our God. This last week, as Pastor Dave mentioned in his prayer, we said goodbye to Mary, Grandma Mary Cornelius. These flowers that you see up here are in her memory. And we grieve that she is not with us, but we celebrate that she is with the Lord. And the same thing for Paul. And for God's people, we grieve, but not as those without hope. It's a strange mixture of hope and joy and grief. All of these together. And God comes alongside us and gives us comfort when times are hard. When things happen that we grieve for. And the Lord has been with us. Let's pray. Father, for your presence, we are in great need. And at this time of the year, as we look forward to the coming of Easter, that time when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we also celebrate the power of the cross. For Jesus Christ came to redeem, to bring life, to bring hope. In the midst of our sorrow, he brought joy. And that, Father, we celebrate in this season. Come to us and speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I may be dating myself today, but how many here are familiar with the name Chuck Negron? Oh, boy. This is worse than I thought. How about Three Dog Night? Ah, got a few more. Okay. Chuck Negron wrote most of the best hits that Three Dog Night had. One is The Loneliest Number. Eli's Coming. Remember that one? An old-fashioned love song. Mama Told Me Not to Sing, Not to Come. Joy to the World. You know, Chuck Negron wrote some fantastic music. He sold over 50 million records, had 11 top 10 hits. He was at the top of the world. He was floating in dough. The world was chasing him, and he was at the top of what the world could offer. But no matter how hard he tried, he couldn't shake an addiction that he had. In the midst of all of this, an addiction to heroin. During the course of his career, he made more than 100 attempts at rehabilitation from his heroin addiction, including 35 inpatient hospital stays to shake his addiction. And yet he failed again and again. His addiction finally destroyed his career and he hit rock bottom. Drugs had taken everything he had. He even sold his gold records to buy cocaine. And Chuck Negron, this man who was at the top of the world just shortly ago, wound up living on the floor of an East Los Angeles crack house. It appeared that Chuck Negron had lost everything, and he almost had. But the one thing he still hung on to in the midst of all of it was hope. In all of his failed attempts, he tried one more time. He entered a program called Cry for Help, and finally, after 20 years of failure, he won the battle. And during this time, he also gave his life to Christ. And he's been clean for 20 years now. He's 69 years old. He still tours, still sings rock and roll. And he also works with drug counseling and intervention programs. Now, I find Chuck's story inspiring for a couple of reasons. One is simply because he kept trying. How many people would have given up after all of these attempts to heal? He didn't give up, even after over 100 failures at trying to break this addiction. And the second reason I find Chuck's story inspiring is because it reminds me that it's never too late. No matter how far gone you are never too far gone for the love and the power of God to reach down and redeem. Chuck Negron ruined his life, and in most people's eyes, he was a hopeless cause. But in God's eyes, no cause is hopeless. He went from singing rock to smoking rock to standing on the rock. His life was completely turned around by the power of the cross. And that's the promise of Easter. That's the power of the cross. And as we approach Easter, as we see the cross rising before us, we must never forget that the cross is the most powerful, most life-changing source of hope and real substantial change in all of life. There is nothing that even comes close to the power of the cross. Easter cries out to us that it doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter how lost you are. God is holding out life before you, and he's offering you renewed life and hope. Life that is more than you've ever dreamed possible. And he's holding that life out before you right now. Many people have said it's too late. I've done too much wrong. I've gone too far. I've wasted too many second chances. There's no sense going on. I've just failed too many times. Now, most people's stories aren't as desperate as Chuck's was, but they're just as discouraging. It's discouraging to fight a losing battle with any problem or any sin. It's very easy for us to yield to the temptation of thinking, it's just too late for me. And I'm here today to tell you that it's not too late. It's never too late. That's the message of Easter. That's the power of the cross. That's what we are moving toward as a church as we look forward to the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the reason I say this is not just because in the course of my ministry I've seen many lives turned around by God's power. And it's not just because God has given me the power to renew my life many times. It's because this book, his word, tells us that there is no situation beyond the power of God to save. Now, if you're discouraged here this morning, if you're here discouraged with the progress that you're making in your spiritual life, whether it's a little or a lot, today's message will not only encourage you, it'll empower you to turn your life around. Today we'll take a closer look at the passage that we saw just a little bit ago, Psalm 107. It's a psalm that talks about God's power to redeem. I want you to know that no matter where you are or where you've been, God is ready to redeem you today. It doesn't matter where you've been or how messed up you are. He can save you. He can deliver you. He can change your life. He can make you new from the ground up. He can change your life, and that's the power of the cross. The power that defied the power of death and brought joy and life and light and real forgiveness to the world as it had never experienced it before. And that's something to shout about. That's worth shouting from the highest mountain. That's what Easter is all about. The message of Easter is about the power of God to take the broken and dying and bring healing and new life. I have seen it. I have experienced it. It's here. It's now. It's real. It's powerful. The psalmist uses examples of four different ways people tend to make a mess of their lives. Let's take a look at them. First of all, some people just spend their lives just wandering. Just, you know, people that just seem lost, that life never seems to really grab them. They never really seem to find their direction. Verses 4 and 5 of Psalm 107, some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Have you seen people like that? They never quite get their direction. They just kind of run out of steam, and life, they never really catch up with life. They just wander. This is the person who lives with no direction, no idea where they're going, no sense of purpose. They just roam about from day to day, never really accomplishing anything, never really experiencing satisfaction or fulfillment in life. Bruce Springsteen talks about this in a song called Better Days. He says this, "I sat listening to the hours and minutes ticking away, just sitting around waiting for my life to begin, while it was all just slipping away." Know somebody like that? Have you experienced that yourself? Some people spend years or even decades living this way until they finally get to the point where they say, "What happened to my life? Is this all there is?" Secondly, some people spend their whole lives in darkness. Verse 10, some sat in darkness and the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains. That's the person who spends their lives in cynical, intentional negativity. And I'm not talking about people who suffer from clinical depression and who are doing everything within their power to overcome it. I'm talking about those who choose to live in gloom and despair, who prefer to believe the worst rather than hope for the best. I think we all know someone like that. I think we've all experienced that sometime in our life where it just seems hopeless. How do people get to that point? Verse 11 says, "For they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High." These are the people who, when they hear the text, "God causes all things to work together for good," they say, "No, I'll continue to think this world is a rotten place." And when they hear, "You shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free," they turn away and they say, "No, I prefer my chains." Do you know people who just simply like to suffer? They like to attract the sympathy from people around them? Have you ever experienced that yourself? Thirdly, some people destroy their lives with sin. Verse 17 says, "Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. There are people who prefer to go their way instead of God's way. They prefer to seek their own pleasure instead of seeking God's purpose for their lives. The psalmist says something interesting about this person in verse 18. He says, "They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death." Now, people pursue sin for the sake of pleasure. But there's a point where sin just saps your will to live. It takes you to the point where nothing sounds good to you anymore. And the only thing left that's attractive is death. I've talked to people who are there. It's a frightening thing to hear. I suspect there may be even people around you, where you work, where you spend your time, who are there. Fourthly, some people spend their lives living in turmoil. Verses 23 to 26, others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. These are the kinds of people who seem to live from crisis to crisis. They've always got more problems than they can handle. And it always seems that there's more problems on the way. If they go out to sea, the waves come after them. If they go into business, the economy tanks. If they buy a car, it breaks down. If they get sick, they have no insurance. It's just one thing after another until in their peril, their courage melts away. Ever known someone like that? Where do they end up? Verses 26 and 27. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. Everyone who tries to live their life without God's leadership find themselves at some point at their wits' end. It's inevitable. It's interesting, though, that all the people described in this psalm came to the same conclusion. To those who wasted their lives wandering, verse 6 says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. To those who had embraced the darkness, verse 13, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. To those who had wasted their lives with sin, verse 19, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. To those whose lives were overcome with turmoil, verse 28 says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. If your life today isn't what it needs to be, there's a solution available. Did you hear it? Cry out to the Lord in the midst of your trouble, and he will deliver you from your distress. If you feel like you're going nowhere while your life is ebbing away, cry out to the Lord in your trouble, and he will deliver you from your distress. The Bible says this, verse 7, he led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Verse 8, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. God can give your life meaning and purpose and direction. He can stop the aimless wandering. If you feel trapped in an emotional prison, bound by chains of iron, cry out to the Lord in your trouble, and he will deliver you from your distress. The Bible says in verse 14, he brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom and broke away their chains. Verse 16, for he breaks the down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. God can free you from the prison of despair, and he can fill your life with hope and a bright future. If sin has made you miserable and taken every good thing from your life, cry out to the Lord in your trouble, and he will deliver you. The Bible says in verse 20, he sent forth his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Now, the power of sin may be destroying your life, and it may even be killing you, but the power of sin is no match for the power of God's mercy and the power of the blood of Jesus. The power of the cross is overwhelming. In the cross, you can be forgiven. And not only forgiven, you can be healed. Isn't it great that the psalmist uses that word? It's like sin is a sickness and we need the cure. Praise God, we have the cure in Jesus. Your lifeless spirit can be rescued from the grave. You can be healed and be given new life in Christ. That's the power. That's the message of the cross. That's the wonder and the joy of Easter, that you can cry out to Him regardless of where you are, how long you've been wandering, how lost you feel, how desperately hopeless life seems to be. In the midst of your hopelessness, you can cry out to God. He will hear you, and He will restore you. And His power can overcome whatever it is that may be dogging you, that may be turning you to hopelessness. If your life is just one crisis after another, one disaster after another, and no amount of running and chasing and pursuing seems to be enough, cry out to the Lord in your trouble. He'll deliver you from your distress. The Bible says in verses 29 and 30, He stirred the storm to a whisper. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm. And He guided them to their desired haven. The psalmist is saying, you can have peace in your life. It doesn't have to be tumultuous day after day after day. God will lead you to a haven of peace and calm, a haven of rest. At the foot of the cross, there is wholeness and rest and peace. There's an old gospel song that says, I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild, stormy deep. In Jesus, I'm safe evermore. Regardless of what your life is like today, this is the life He has planned for you. This is what is waiting for you at the cross. Purpose, liberty, healing, hope, peace. The psalmist talks about trying to live your life without God can turn rivers into a desert. That's the result of wickedness. But the opposite is also true. Verse 35, He turned the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into flowing springs. There He brought the hungry to live, and they founded a city where they could settle. They sowed fields and planted vineyards that yielded a fruitful harvest. He blessed them and their numbers greatly increased. He did not let their herds diminish. He goes on to say in verse 41, but He lifted the needy out of their affliction and increased their families like flocks. Do you know what He's talking about here? He's talking about a complete reversal, the complete 180 that God can perform in your life today. He can take you from the wasteland of the desert to a city of your own, from the darkness of prison to the light of liberty, from the brokenness of sin to the wholeness of holiness, from the tempest at sea to a haven of rest. That's the power of the cross at work in your life. That's Easter. That's the hope of Christ. That's what He lays before you today. So how do you experience it? You first cry out to the Lord in your trouble, and He'll deliver you from your distress. That's the first thing you do. And then you need to be prepared to do the second thing. In each scenario of salvation described in the passage, the psalmist also includes an exhortation. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. To those who have been saved from wandering, in verse 8, let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for them. To those who have been delivered from darkness, verse 15, let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. To those who have been healed of their sins, in verse 21, He says, Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. To those who are delivered from turmoil, verse 31, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. It doesn't matter what your life is like today. Your life can be turned around. That's the power of the cross. That's what Easter is all about. The victory of life over death, of God's fullness over the emptiness of the world. Come to the cross and cry out to the Lord in your trouble, and he'll deliver you from your distress. And then thank him for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds. Simply put, you say, please, and thank you. You say, please, God, make a difference in my life. Thank you, God, for making a difference in my life. Can it really be that simple? Yeah, it can. Some may say, get real. My life is too complicated to be fixed with please and thank you to God. It's not that easy. But it is. Get real. My life is way too complicated to be fixed with such a simple formula. But it is. The power of the cross is God's power at work in your life to bring complete change and real life. But you say, but I've sinned. God can still turn your life around. You say, but I've wasted so much time. God can redeem the time that remains. You say, but I'm stuck in the pit of darkness and despair. God can fill your life with light today, right now. You say, but my life is just one big mess after another. God can bring you out of the storm and into the haven of rest. You say, but I've wandered away. God can bring you home. You say, but, it doesn't matter. God can turn things around in your life no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've become. One of my favorite authors, Max Lucado, I'm sure many of you have read his books, used to be a missionary in Rio de Janeiro. In one of his early books, no wonder they call him Savior, he tells the story about a girl named Christina who grew up in a very poor rural part of Brazil, living in a small wooden house with only a pallet on the floor, a wash basin, and a wood-burning stove. Christina dreamed of a better life in the city, so one day she left home, breaking her mother's heart. Knowing what life on the streets would be like for her, she was a young, attractive, vulnerable girl. Her mother, Maria, just took off to chase after her, to find her. And before leaving, she stopped in a drugstore, sat in a photographer's booth, and took as many small black and white pictures as she could afford of her daughter. She then put them in her purse and boarded the bus to Rio de Janeiro. Now, Maria knew that Christina had no way of making money. She also knew that when pride meets hunger, a human will do things that were before unthinkable. So Maria began her search in Rio's bars, hotels, nightclubs, and any other place with a reputation for streetwalkers or prostitutes. At each place, she left Christina's picture, taped on a bathroom mirror, tacked to a hotel bulletin board, fastened to a corner phone booth, and in the back of each photo, she wrote a note. It wasn't too long before both the money and the pictures ran out, and Maria was forced to go home. It was a few weeks later that young Christina came down the stairs of the hotel where she had slept the night before. Her face was tired. Her dark eyes no longer danced with youth but spoke of pain and fear. Her laughter was broken. Her dream had become a nightmare. So many nights she had longed to trade those countless beds for her secure pallet back home. Yet the little village where she grew up was in too many ways too far away. When she reached the bottom of the stairs, her eyes caught a familiar face. She looked again, and there on the lobby mirror was a small picture of her mother. Christina's eyes burned and her throat tightened as she walked across the room and removed the small photo. Written on the back was an irresistible invitation. It said, "Whatever you have done, whatever you have become, it doesn't matter. Please come home." And she did. I want you to know that Jesus is saying the same thing to you today. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you think you've become. Come home. Cry out to me in your trouble. I can turn things around. I can deliver you and free you and heal you and save you and give your life purpose. I can lead you to a city where you can settle. I can bring you to a haven of rest. Just come home. Wherever you have been, no matter how far you have wandered, no matter what you have done or what you haven't done, no matter how lost your life has become, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That invitation is there for you today. It's open. Come home. And God will receive you and welcome you with open arms, and He will give to you life and strength and hope and forgiveness, even joy and purpose. And He can take the brokenness that seems to be dogging you, and He can bring you life. In the midst of all that you've experienced, God is saying to you this morning, come home. Let me heal you. Let me make you whole. Come to the haven of rest. Could I ask you all just to close your eyes? Bow your heads, close your eyes. And every one of us here this morning hears that call. Come home. And just where you're sitting right now, where you are, cry out to God, I'm here. I'm coming. Would you receive me? And God promises that He will open His arms right now and draw you in and give you life. Regardless of how discouraged or down or broken you are, He can bring you hope, and He will right now. Say, Lord, please, I cry to you. Bring me home. And He will restore and make your life new. Father, to those who have cried out to you this morning, and I hope it's every single one of us crying out, Lord, we need you. There are places in my life that need to be redeemed and made whole, that are broken, that are just confusing, and I don't know why. We come to you. Receive us, Lord. We cry out to you as your people. Restore us. Redeem us. And Lord, The wonder of the cross draws us today. The power of Easter pulls us to you. Receive us. We thank you. We thank you for your redemption. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.